Welcome to the greatest show on earth. Hey. We have a lot of things to rejoice about today, not least of which today is Mother's Day. And we have a gift for all the women. There's bookmarks being passed out, so make sure every woman, whether you're a mother or not, we appreciate you and recognize you and would like you to have that gift from us. So make sure you see one of the ushers if you don't have your bookmark. It's a little gift for all the women among us, not just mothers, but women who are mothers in spirit as well as in physical fact. We also want to rejoice today because Bob Porterfield is going to be turning 70 in a few days. Let's sing happy birthday to Bob.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bob. Happy birthday.
We do rejoice in this gift of life, don't we? What a blessing. We have so many good reasons to feel grateful and thankful. We have so much. And even in my Sunday school class today, we talked about being grateful even when times are rough, even when things are tough, even when things are a struggle. We give thanks to God for God's goodness to us. We're not promised an easy road, but we are promised that God is with us. We are not alone. And there's no greater affirmation in my mind than we are not alone. God is with us. Let's begin this service of worship with greeting one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist and servant for today. And I do want to wish all the mothers a happy and blessed Mother's Day. Amen. For your announcements this morning, there are some on the back of your bulletin, so please pay attention to those if you're part of those committees that are meeting. Friendship Club has, they're meeting this Thursday for a covered dish meal here at the church at 12 o'clock noon. and their meeting is open to anyone that would like to come and enjoy a time of fellowship. And at this month's meeting, they'll be deciding if they're going to meet during the summer or resume in the fall. If you decide to come, please bring a covered dish.
Rhonda, one more. The food bank is this Friday for those that help.
Repeat that, Rhonda.
The food bank is this Friday if you decide to help. And what are the times for that, Larry?
11 to 1.
11 to 1 for the food bank this Friday. Also, there is an announcement from Gene Clark regarding his Bible study group. They are starting a new study on May 19th at 2 here at the church, and the study will be on the book of Revelation. Everyone is welcome to be a part of this study, and the study books will be available next Sunday, so check with Gene Clark. He's still out of town, and he will be back next week. Are there any other announcements that I'm possibly missing or I don't know about?
I'd like, May, there's 5 Sundays, which means we have a potluck, the 5th Sunday this month. So just be getting your recipes ready for potluck Sunday.
Okay. What Diane was saying, there are 5 Sundays in the month of May, so therefore the 5th Sunday would be a potluck dinner. So decide what you're going to bring or whatever and share it with everyone. Always try to bring enough to serve more than just yourself or another person.
We have a special thing to do for mothers. Okay.
No other announcements? Okay.
We unexpectedly have some flowers to give out to mothers. So I want to recognize some of the mothers that are with us today. If I can get this open, I will give you a rose. I'm going to recognize the oldest, the youngest, and the one with the most children. The one with the most children. How's that? And we'll see who gets them. And the rest of these we'll just leave right there on the altar. All right. Let's see. How many of you mothers here today are over 75 years old? Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot. Yeah, maybe we should have you stand up. Okay. Stand up. Those of you who are over 75. Okay. If you're over 80, remain standing. Everybody else sit down if you're over 80, okay? If you're over 85, remain standing, but everybody else sit down. Okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3. If you're, oh, okay. Are those the 3 remaining, the 3 oldest we have standing? We'll give them all one. Don't hurt yourself. It's got thorns. Okay. Thorns and all. Okay. They all deserve it. I wish we could give one to everybody. Here we go. And now, let's see. Will all the mothers stand who are 35 years or younger? 35 years old or younger? Okay. Okay, okay. Oh, wow, we got 3. What do you say I give them all a rose? Yay. And 2 of them have their babies with them. Actually, Amy has some babies with her, too. All right, now let's see. How about oldest mothers? We can recognize, I'm not oldest, what am I saying? The one with the most children. If you have 3 or more children, stand up. 3 or more children, stand up. Okay, wow. Okay, if you have four or more children, remain standing, otherwise sit back down. Yes. Four children. If you have four children, keep standing. Okay, does anybody have five or more children? Where? Where is the one? Do we have any with five or more? Nope, it was four or more. Okay, the two ladies that had four children. Oh, and Rhonda also. Okay, stand back up so we can give you each a rose. And here's for Lois. And you know what? There are three left. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What do you say? Amen. All right. Amen. We'll put them right here.
Okay, if we would all open back up to our inserts for the opening words. Why are we looking up to heaven? Christ has come. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Why are we looking ahead to the future? The Holy Spirit is among us now. In our baptism, we have already died and risen with Christ. Why are we afraid of death and dying? God's love casts out our fear. Why are we afraid to follow Jesus? In Christ, we have the promise of new life now, eternal life to come. In Christ, we join our hearts to worship God, who has prepared for us to enter the reign of God.
Good morning. I'm Dee Dee Danley, and I'm filling in for Andy this morning. I'm glad to be your servant. If you will take your hymnals and open to 155, we will sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll do 1 through 3 and then number 6. Please stand. Singing 154.
Amen.
That's because that's what George is playing. So let's continue with
verse 3.
Of faith, and that will be found on 886. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present and with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe God and help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible of use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
Children who want to come up here? No? Well, I have to show you something. I have done the most beautiful picture you have ever seen. I want to show you this drawing that I made and see what you think of it. What's the matter? Well, what do you think of my drawing? They're too polite to tell me that I'm full of it. This is not a drawing, but what is it?
It's a crayon box.
And what does it have in it? I would have to actually take these crayons out and put them on paper, and then I might have a picture, right? Then I could have a picture, and it might be a beautiful picture. But as long as they're in the box, they're no good, are they? You have to take them out and use them. Well, we're the same way. We're no good unless we take ourselves and use the gifts God gave us for the people of God. God expects us to use the talents and gifts we have and not hide them under a bushel. And you know what else is really cool about these crayons? Now, if one of these crayons was broken, could you still color with it? You can still be used, can't you? And we are sometimes very broken people, and God uses us. We can still be used by God, even though we're broken people. I just want you to remember that you are called on to use your gifts for God. Don't keep them in the box, but take them out. We all have potential inside of us. We all have God-given gifts that God has given us. You are very special in the eyes of God, and God wants you to show that to the world. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you for the gifts that you do give us, dear God. We praise your name and ask that you continue to help us as we grow in your grace and strength. Help us to use the gifts that you give us for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 The children are way too polite. They don't want to tell their pastor that she's wrong. Well, that was the point, though. Well, the ushers, please come forward as we worship God with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us many good gifts. And we come to you today bringing a small portion of what we have for furthering your kingdom on earth. We thank you so much that we have received so much. And pray your blessing upon us as you use the gifts that we bring for your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning we have with us a very special offering of special music. Judy Schuster is going to sing for us.
A secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah. Strong, but you needed proof. You saw the shadow on the roof, the beauty of the moonlight overthrew you. They tied you to a wooden chair, they broke your throne, and they cut your hair, and from your lips they drew the hallelujah. here before. I've seen this room and I've walked the floor. I used to live here long before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, and love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Wasn't much I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
Thank you to Judy and George and the choir. We want to continue this prayerful mood as that we received from the song by going to God in prayer now. So you might want to bow your heads and close your eyes and block out everything else that is around you and take a few deep breaths and whisper, hallelujah. Because God has promised to be with us. We are not alone. God knows our needs before we even ask. We come to God now with those things that make our heart heavy, as we offer them up to God, whether silently or aloud. Creator God, you have molded and shaped the earth to be filled with life. And you have molded and shaped us to be filled with your love. So create in us today new hearts, especially when they become hardened by the world that we have built. We call upon you today to unmake the hurt, the anger, the hate that can fill and consume us, and instead give us new hearts open to your love. In Christ, who has come to show us your love in the way that we know best, our own human life, we give thanks and praise and lift up our prayers to you, O God, as we pray together as you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you will take your hymnals, please, and turn to 368. Let us sing, My Hope is Built.
Thank you.
Our scriptures for today are out of Acts,
chapter 16.
It's chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. And it's actually on your Pew Bible, page 166. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and it came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in this house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Today is Mother's Day, and I'm going to tell you a story about my mother that you have to promise me won't get back to her. When you see her again, you can't say anything like this. She actually said a lot of things when I was growing up that I thought were in the Bible. It wasn't that she claimed they were in the Bible. I just thought that she said them with such authority and power that they must have been from the Bible. Anyway, for example, my mother would come into the playroom that my two brothers and I would share, and she would start shaking her head as she surveyed the mess that was our playroom in front of her. And then she would say, "Cleanliness is next to godliness." And so she ordered us to get cracking on a cleanup. Now, I looked it up in the Bible trying to find where that text was, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And that's because it's not in there. "Cleanliness is next to godliness" was actually said by John Wesley. Yes. Well, whenever one of us would complain to her about our life, she would look at us and say, "God works in mysterious ways." And again, it sounds like it comes from the Bible, doesn't it? Well, it turns out to be a paraphrase of a hymn by a 19th century writer who said, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." It's not in the Bible. Now,
If I was on the edge of adolescent despair, facing some obstacle that I thought myself incapable of overcoming, like a term paper or a job application, she would look over her glasses and then she would say, "God helps those who help themselves." And I have had people swear to me that that's in the Bible, but guess who said that? Anybody know who said that? God helps those who help themselves? Benjamin Franklin. That's who said that. Poor Richard's Almanac. Look it up. Look it up. I've talked with many people as a pastor who have attributed things to the Bible that aren't there. And most ministers have had that kind of experience. I know one professor of biblical studies had to prove to one of his students that the expression, "that dog won't hunt," wasn't in the book of Proverbs, but she swore it was. It is not. There are other common sayings that we have all heard while not sure of the source. And I thought about the story today that we heard that Rhonda shared with us about Paul and Silas in jail, and the line came to me, "Stone walls do not a prison make." What do you think? Was it Shakespeare or Benjamin Franklin? Or it wasn't in the Bible. It came from Richard Lovelace, a poet in the 17th century, in his poem that's called "To Althea from Prison." Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. That's the full quote. It gets at the heart of this story, this wonderful story of the thief and the jailer who did not die. It takes place in Philippi. We were there last week, and Paul and Silas have been meeting with all the local believers at their place of prayer down by the river. But they are walking through the marketplaces, and they are followed by this slave girl who shouts out to them in her psychic way, so much so that people pay her owners for her services. She has, what do you call those? Thank you. Yeah, she's like a fortune teller. But she's annoying Paul. Paul doesn't like it. And so he turns on her and performs an unsolicited exorcism and drives the demon right out of her that makes her be able to do these fortunes. Well, guess what? In the process, he angers her owners who have been getting lots of money from her. And so he turns them over to prison, and they get locked up. They get beaten and locked up. They find a way to bring the complaint against him that they're thrown into jail where they cannot escape. But at midnight, Paul and Silas are keeping everybody awake in the prison, singing songs, praising God, and an earthquake comes and breaks loose. The chains, the doors fall off, the shackles come unfastened, Paul and Silas and all the prisoners there are free, but they don't go anywhere. Meanwhile, the jailer, who wakes up, sees the doors open and he prepares to kill himself because he knows that he would be blamed for their escape, and he knows that he will be executed, and so killing himself is his best option. But Paul calls out, "Don't do that. We're all here. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage." Paul and Silas are the people in the story who are in jail, yet they are the ones who are the most free. They are free to praise God and sing hymns, free to stay where they are in prison rather than feeling the need to run and hide. They are free to speak God's truth whenever they wish, wherever they are, and to whomever God puts in front of them.
On the other hand, the jailer is not free. He is bound up in chains of duty and obligation, of fear and failure. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Most of us, like the jailer, live with a variety of invisible prisons. Things that limit us, that hold us back, and that fill us with fear and anxiety. And worst of all, keep us from experiencing and living out the freedom that comes from knowing that God loves us unconditionally. That nothing that we can do and nothing that we are can possibly separate us from the love of God, which is shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord, and that is in Scripture. In our heart of hearts, we want to be like Paul and Silas. We want to be able to praise God and sing hymns no matter what the circumstances. But unfortunately, most of the time, we are more like the jailer, believing that we have failed, believing that anything bad that has happened to us is our own fault because we didn't help ourselves or we weren't clean enough or God is mysteriously punishing us for something we didn't even know we did wrong. Brothers and sisters, it may not be in the Bible, but it's still true. That dog won't hunt, which is another way of saying that simply isn't true. It is not that we have failed. That's not why we're in prison. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. I think the old Lutheran Book of Worship puts it like this. We are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. No, we cannot free ourselves, but Jesus can and did. When we find ourselves on the cusp of despair, when we have lost all hope, when we cry out with the jailer, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer is nothing. Jesus did it all. The earthquake of the cross has broken your shackles and opened the doors of your heart. And as Paul said, also in the Bible, all you have to do is believe. That is what's in the Bible from beginning to end. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You'll take your hymnals and turn to 378 and stand and sing with me, Amazing Grace.
I want.
is good news, my friends. God loves you. Did you know that? Do you really know that? All right. God loves you. We are invited to live a life being blessed by God's love, to enjoy the blessing and gifts that He has bestowed upon us, and to share that, to laugh, to enjoy, to spread the word that God loves everyone. May you leave this place enveloped in His arms and live this week with confidence and trust, knowing that you are not alone and never will be. And that is reason to rejoice. May the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. Go in His peace. Amen.
If you look in 1 John, you will see where he tells us, "Behold what manner of love the Lord has given unto us."
Thank you.